Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling. Welcome to another Jukebox Jury on your unofficial Eurovision podcast. It sounds so much nicer when you lot listen to the music that we dub in rather than me trying to hum the theme tune for Eurovision there. Mike Antoine, I'm sorry you're spinning in your grave, but we have another five classic Eurovision hits to go through. Potentially five Eurovision hits to go through here in our Eurovision Jukebox Jury. We have our panelists back here again. We have Paul Jordan.
Hello.
And Karina Westerman.
Bonjour.
Oh, we're doing the French now as well. Look at that, multilingual. We'll throw in some Scots later on as well, if you like. We are going to take five of this year's entries into the 2010 Eurovision Song Contest. We're going to give them a hit if they deserve the douze points coming from all the juries around Europe. We're going to give them null if we think, you ain't going anywhere. Or we'll give them 6 points if we're not quite sure, if we think maybe. There we go. And if you think hit, miss, or maybe sounds suspiciously like we should have Derek Jacobs hoping this show rather than me, then please don't tell anybody else. Because we wouldn't want to bring up an old cultural icon and try and reinvent it in the 21st century. No, what we're going to do is we're going to listen to Netherlands. They have a rather interesting choice of song this year. It's Shalali by Sienek. One of the Smurfs. I have to say, if we had a time machine and this was 1973, that would be a winner and the new Seekers would be in trouble. But it's not. I have no idea what possessed the Netherlands, A, to get the guy who did the Smurfs to write their song for them this year, B, to get into the situation where he has the casting vote in their national final and he's petrified and can't make his mind up and chooses the artist who I suspect was the first one in his eye line. I'd love to say that the Netherlands have made a misstep here, but if that's the case, it's a consistent misstep that they've done for the last couple of years. They seem to have fallen into the trap that Britain tries to fall into every year, which is to do what they think a Eurovision song should be, rather than send a good song. This is a miss.
To me, it sounds like Schlager music. I mean, Schlager music in the sense that you'd get this sort of thing in the local inns and pubs throughout Scandinavia and Germany and Holland. And it's a big thing. They sell a lot of records there, but it's not Eurovision fodder. It used to be mid-80s, late-80s, early-90s. This would have been huge, possibly. Now it just stinks. And it doesn't help they've got a Sarah Palin lookalike to sing it.
Oh, I think she's more Jane McDonald with the Loose Women backing her.
Ooh!
Spot the student!
Yeah, absolutely. Watch the YouTube clip and you'll know what I mean. Yeah, I actually really like it, and I know I shouldn't. I know it's rubbish, but the start reminds me of kind of Puppet on the String, and then it goes into this bizarre, catchy song. And fair play to the Netherlands. They have, you know, they've tried in 2007, they really tried hard to qualify. Didn't come anywhere near it. So I don't know, it might get the boozy vote. You never know, someone could come in from the pub and just think, I'm going to vote for the Netherlands. Who knows?
You know, that's like taking a straw, throwing it up in the air, counting to 500, and then trying to clutch that straw as it falls down again because gravity is broken.
Yeah, but you know, just picture it. Come on, Ewan, we'll be in Oslo. You know, hopefully we'll have had a few drinks. That'll come on. We'll all get up dancing, I'm sure.
It's in the midweek semi-final. It's not going to happen.
What strikes me, and we talked about this during the break, is that it's such a Schlager song, and yet the Schlager fans are not loving it. And if they're not loving it, who's going to love it?
Exactly. And, you know, the commentators are going to go, it's written by the guy who is Father Abraham. They're going to have a pipe organ on stage. They're going to have a singer who will have trained up but does not have stage presence. Nothing is lining up for this song. This is a classic null point. If it wasn't a semi-final, if it was straight into a final, this would have null written all over it. But it's not going to get out the semis. It's dead.
I just feel sorry for Holland.
I do too, but I wouldn't discount it just yet.
So are we going for? Are we getting a maybe from you on this one?
I think so, maybe.
It's a miss from me.
And a miss from me.
And it's now time to see if Malta can do a hit, miss, or maybe no. Malta, of course, have what they call the Chiara rule, which is nobody's allowed to represent Malta 2 years running. Otherwise, we would probably have Chiara back again. We have the next best thing. We have a song written by the guy who wrote Chiara's first song back in 1998. It's sung by Thea Garrett, and it's called My Dream. Malta, love Eurovision, but, you know, for a country that had a 16-hour national final, at least it felt like that, to send this is just inconceivable. And I use that in the William Golding sense.
It's dull. Let's not beat about the bush. It's dull. It's dull as dishwater. No, that's an insult to dishwater. It's dull.
You know, I mean, it's great. She has great big angel wings on the stage, but that doesn't change the fact that, you know, this is the song where I would recommend that everybody goes and puts the kettle on.
This is why I think that in a year of ballads and ballads like this, anything that's even mid-tempo will do well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it going anywhere. And I also think it would be actually quite a difficult song to sing. And I don't know if she could cut it live. I don't think she's actually got the performance ability, I should say, to be able to cut it. And I think it's heading for absolute disaster, really.
They try. I mean, it's like having that kid at school who just, you know, you're reading the book with him and he's still struggling on the first page. And you're like, oh, wait, come on, turn the page. Let's do something. Nothing.
And it's not even fun. It's not even dull in a fun way. It's just dull in a dull way.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it'd be so wonderful if they won. It'd be amazing. You know, you can imagine Eurovision on the harbour. It'd be superb. But not this year. Maybe next year.
I mean, and this is the thing. Netherlands, bad song. But at least it had that element of, you know, we're at least going to enjoy yourself. We at least realise this is 3 minutes of our life, which is precious. We're going to do something with it. And Tony, if you're listening, I know you were on the jury for this. Let me get you drunk in Norway and you can explain to me how this got through. Miss.
Miss.
I'm sad to say it's a miss.
So we have to say we're doing incredibly well in the scoring so far out of all these countries. Let's see if our third song in this jukebox jury edition of the Eurovision Song Contest 2010 will make any difference. It's Juliana Pasha from Albania, one of those countries again, it's chomping at the bit to win. This, It's All About You. It's all about you. And there's the point. You have a fun song, you have something that's a little bit different, a little bit up-tempo, a little bit of something to get your teeth into as a singer and a performer, and you end up with that. I think Albania are going to do very well with that one.
I agree. I think it stands out. I think it's really catchy. It's, you know, in a field of ballads and dull mid-tempo songs, it really does something. I mean, at Christmas, I didn't have anything else to do. I was quite sad. I ended up watching the Albanian final and surviving.
And was it any better than the BBC's effort?
Do you know, actually, well, it depends on what you define as better. I'll try and be diplomatic. It was entertaining, should we say. 3 hours long, I was losing the will to live. But when she won, she actually looked like a vet fielder on crack. I mean, she looked bizarre, but she attacked the song, and they've now given the song a make over that it's in English. She looks great. I think it's going to do really well.
And that's the interesting thing. You have a lot of countries that are working on these songs in public. They're constantly issuing remixes. I mean, Azerbaijan have went through about 5 or 6. Now, Turkey's went through 3 or 4. Greece's went through 3. Unfortunately, losing the Casio digital watch introduction, which I think is a mistake. And again, this one, it's been worked on. It's in public. They're punching it up. They're getting lots of public feedback on that. And in the end, even though there are juries, it's a public vote that has the casting vote if there's a tiebreak. And this is what you do. You take a song, you improve, you get better, you iterate it better. You don't just go, we're not going to tell you what the song is, bang, it's here. It's bang, 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 bang. Like a field of ballads, like a field of battle, you just rattle the shots and one of them is going to hit. And it'll be the one that happens at the end of May. And again, Albania have a hit here.
I think a bit of caution here because we've just listened to two quite bad songs and I was facing Albania. It's a good song though, but it's maybe not, you know, the end all be all, but it's a good song. It'll do well. It's upbeat. Albania have sent some really good pop songs in the past and this is one of them. Again, they sent something really good and I'm happy to say they'll probably go top five with it.
I mean, I've got my list at home. This is a top 10 on the list irrespective of the running order. And it does, again, something we may well talk about when we come to our question and answer shows when we start doing the podcast from Oslo, the importance of where you are in the running order and what's around you. It's a hit for me.
Definitely a hit.
Definitely a hit for me.
So there we go. Three hits there, which is not bad, given that we've had six misses to start off the show. So we've had miss, hit. What will happen to the pattern now? Bulgaria have a bit of a love-hate relationship with Eurovision. I think this is the year with a little bit of love. Miro is coming up with Angel CT as their entry to the Telenor Arena and Oslo's Eurovision 2010. If you'd like to hear the full version, and trust me, you're not going to miss much more than what you've just heard in that clip there. The Eurovision 2010 double CD is going to be available on Amazon, on iTunes, at Eurovision.tv. It is available to purchase in all the good online and offline record stores as well. If you need to find a link to get, www.euandspence.com. Yes, it's an affiliate link to Amazon. I will get something like 2.5 pence if you buy the CD through that link rather than searching for it. But hey, I've seen the prices of beer in Oslo, and so has Paul. We need all the help we can get.
Absolutely. I'm planning on not eating to try and help with the old effect of the alcohol. The healthy option.
Now, will alcohol need help for Bulgaria? Because that song just feels like it's one of those rave numbers from the mid-1990s that goes on forever and goes absolutely nowhere.
Absolutely. I mean, it stops very abruptly as well. It kind of, he wails a bit and then there's a bit of a key change, more wailing, and then it stops. In its defence, I think he's got a good voice. He's not a bad-looking chap. And, you know, it's fairly catchy, but, it's like a filler. It's kind of like something you'd hear on someone's album somewhere, but it's not a hit.
It sounds like one of those bridges whenever you listen to, like, a good proper prog rock album, there's always one track which was basically the drummer and the pianist left on stage while everybody else went underneath the stage to find a fan or two, and 3 minutes later it would stop, they would come up and they would do another song number, and it just, yeah, it has that feeling of it's a bridge, not a song, which is fine if it was a Eurovision bridge contest, but in that case Humber would win.
It's just not very strong, it's just not very catchy. I mean, you get 5 seconds and you get those 5 seconds over and over again. To me, it's a poor relative to songs we've heard in Eurovision before in the past, like Romania Tornado in 2006, still one of my all-time favorite Eurovision songs, and this is just sort of limping way behind it. Still wants to be it, but can't be.
So hit, miss, or maybe?
It's a miss for me.
I'm going to say maybe, because I think it could just creep out the semi-final. Maybe for me.
Yeah, you know, even if you put flashy show tunes at the back of this and Elizabeth Berkley, it's still going to be a miss from me. Right then, we have one left to go. It's an interesting one. It's Latvia. The official video for this one, it seems to be one take on the singer and then 300 million jump cuts in the background on the video. But we're not going to hold that against it there, because I'm just going to go, what is the grammar in the song there? And I think, you know, that's a pot kettle black situation. But what for? Only Mr. God Knows Why is a rather bit of a mouthful title of Aisha's song for Latvia.
So many questions now with no reply. What for do people live until they die? What hope are we living? What hope are we crying? What hope are we dying? Only Mr. God knows why. What hope are we living? What hope are we dreaming? What hope are we living?
oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Aisha, famously referred to as the bomb in Latvian media, simply for the fact because she's absolutely everywhere. And I read that and I get the impression that this is their Katy Price that they've decided to send to Eurovision, which means she's coasted through the national final because of her name. And now she's at the bit where nobody actually recognises who she is and we have to listen to this song. We realise that, yeah...
I think, again, an apt title, God only knows what for, why.
I mean, it's all summed up there. You can sit and rearrange them like a countdown conundrum, but you just cannot make any sense of this. And it's a shame because there is a song fighting to get out here. There is a rhythm in here, and I just think it needs to go back in the boil and come out sounding slightly different.
Yeah, but to use a horrible phrase, you can't polish a turd. I absolutely hate it. I really don't like the song. I think she, the bomb, car wreck more like. And she's pretty, but yeah, she's not very talented. And the song actually reminds me of something you would hear just before like the end of the second half of Les Mis or something. It's, it's something like that, but it's bizarre and it's pretty boring.
I mean, it certainly has that sort of theatrical, it's the closing of the second act and everything's gone to hell in a handbasket.
For me, I'm just wondering, is there something that the Latvians know that we don't know? Or maybe it's just...
Maybe it's simply they know how much it costs to put on Eurovision.
That too. But, they've sent us some fairly dull stuff and horrible stuff in the past, so why should it be different this year?
Indeed. It's still a miss, though.
Miss, yeah.
Miss.
So there we go. There is our five tunes. And just to read it back, if we go in reverse order, we have Malta, miss, miss, miss. We have the Netherlands, miss, miss, miss. We have Latvia, miss, miss, miss. We have Bulgaria, miss, miss, maybe. Getting finally off the mark at 6 points and giving it second place in this jukebox jury. And Albania, hit, hit, hit. Doozes all the way. Possibly just because we've had to listen to everything else. And I think in the cold light of day, that Albania is not going to be as impressive when we put it next to a Turkey or a Romania.
Absolutely. But I think, I don't know, I still think it stands out. It's catchy and overall, the standard, I personally think the standard's pretty low. It's almost like every country's trying their best not to win. So I think it could definitely be top 10 easily, maybe even top 5.
I think it's the top 5. Yes, it stands out among, the Maltas and the Netherlands. But it's actually a good catchy pop song. And I think this year that alone will actually take it quite far.
I think a lot of it is going to depend on the running order in the final. I think it will struggle to get in the top half of the table. If this comes in that sort of 10th to 15th mark, then I think they consider it as good a job as they could possibly do. I think there are stronger performers and I think there are stronger songs that Albania will just, when it comes up against them, it's going to be like running up against a brick wall at the moment. It's just trying to run through a sheet of tissue paper.
I disagree. I liked it the first time I heard it, and I still like it, even though I've heard all of the songs.
I disagree too. You've got to support Yvette Fielding.
Now, those of you who are listening might have heard quite a long beep there. That's because Paul said something that could potentially have got us into a lot of hot water and sticky-backed plastic, and we're not going there again. But the delights of Eurovision is it does create these strong emotions. It does create this sort of differences in opinion. And at the end of it, as Sun Tzu says, the only measure is the measure of combat. Combat happens on May 25th and 27th for the semi-finals and May 29th for the grand final. That is the only opinion that will actually in the end count. But for now, the opinions of my panel, Paul Jordan.
Goodbye.
Karina Westerman.
Bye.
And myself, thank you very much for listening. Your comments, as always, are welcome. www.ewanspence.com. We're going to be here with you all the way right through to the end of Eurovision. We will find out which is the victor, which is the null, who gets the dues. But for now, the electrical guitars.